Begin this morning with news of a major Russian missile and drone strike on critical infrastructure in Ukraine. President Volodymyr Zelensky says Russia launched 110 missiles over 18 hours, most of which he says were shot down. In the southern city of Odessa, officials say two people were killed, at least 15 were injured when missiles hit residential buildings. The audio from the State Emergency Service of Ukraine. This appears to be the largest aerial bombardment in the 22-month-long war. Israel has confirmed the death of Judy Weinstein Haggai, an Israeli-American-Canadian who'd been listed as a Hamas hostage. More on that from CBS's Ian Lee in Tel Aviv.
The 70-year-old English teacher lived in near Oz, next to the Gaza border. She was last seen going for a walk with her husband Gadi the morning of the October 7th attack. The kibbutz now says she was one of the victims murdered by Hamas along with her husband.
Former President Trump's presidential campaign says it will appeal the ruling by Maine's top elections official that Trump is ineligible to be on the primary ballot. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The Secretary of State made this decision by looking at Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and finding that there was an insurrection on January 6, 2021, that the former president gave aid or comfort and furthered that insurrection, and that therefore he's ineligible for the ballot.
Migrants at the southern border have become a big issue as we move into the new year. CBS's Skyler Henry reports on negotiations over the issue between the Biden administration and congressional Republicans.
Both sides appear to be making significant progress before the holiday break, but ultimately simply there was not enough time before lawmakers went on their recess, and so we'll see what happens when they get back into town. Once they get back from their break, we know that this is absolutely something that's on their to-do list, again, to try to get as much aid out as possible.
More people on our big blue marble.
There are now 8 billion people on our planet, an increase of 75 million over the past year. That's according to the U.S. Census Bureau, which says the worldwide growth rate was just under 1% this year. The U.S. added nearly 2 million people and now has a population of nearly 336 million. Experts say the 2020s could be the slowest growing decade in U.S. history. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Venezuela's armed forces have been ordered to conduct defensive exercises in the Eastern Caribbean in reaction to an announcement by British officials that they're sending a warship to Guyana's territorial waters. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents will meet again Friday morning. On Wednesday night, they fired UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao after they learned he was making online pornography. The Board of Regents will meet in closed session to discuss ongoing personnel matters and to talk with legal counsel about potential litigation. Young people of color are still going to prison at disproportionate rates. Advocates for alternative sentences say young people need to be better equipped for life after incarceration.
It's not only about a public safety argument, though I think it's very important to recognize that kids who are held in these facilities are in fact more likely to reoffend and more likely to reoffend on a more serious charge the next time.
Joshua Rovner is the Youth Justice Director for the Sentencing Project. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday faceoff tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, Yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A few lingering clouds this morning, and then it will become mostly sunny by later this afternoon. We'll get to around 39 for a high today. The wind, northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear, low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 37. Could see a few light snow showers tomorrow night into Sunday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Peter Rapine joins us once again.
City Bums World, we had our holiday party last night.
You scheduled this holiday party for your company, just thinking it was a cool little bar.
Yeah, so we find that we're in the middle
of... Are you surprised to learn there's an international business on Main Street in Nakusa? Jacoby Custom Cues calls billiards one of the most popular recreational activities. It should know more than 3,000 cues are produced there every year. Jacoby started with 2 employees in 83 and now has more than 24. For local grown radio WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Master of Science degree in design plus innovations. What they're looking at is problem solving with technology. Charity Seebecker is going to tell us all about that before we wrap it up with our friends from Compure Financial on this Friday.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Twitter.
If you're looking to spend some quality time with the family and get out of the house, the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover is the place to be. And they're ready for you with over 60 exhibits that showcase the journey of Wisconsin specialty crops from field to fork. But that's not all. I'm Stephanie Huff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. We're talking with Andy Wrights. He's the executive director of the new center located on Innovation Drive off of Interstate 39. He says at its core, this building is meant to connect people where their food comes from. But it's also a space for the community with a cafe and event spaces. Andy says so far, the center has gotten great responses from visitors.
A lot of smiles, number one. Everyone, when they come in here, is just absolutely blown away, partly because nobody really knew what this was. The building is quite unique looking. It's very distinctive, very visible right along I-39, just in the village of Plover. And then when you get inside, you're just literally blown away. We have a cafe and coffee shop. We have a kitchen lab where we're doing some culinary classes and hoping to make a better connection with the family and the table and the fields and the farms. And then the exhibit space is just really what gets everyone's attention and lots of oohs and ahs, where we have over 60 exhibits, really trying to make that connection with the agriculture and consumers and trying to bridge that gap in understanding of where our food comes from, the people that make it happen, and the technology that helps drive it.
And people may be oohing and aahing already just hearing you talk about it with the number of exhibits you've got going on, the fields, the kitchen, the cafe. But Andy, at its core, this center is for agricultural education and kind of connecting people to where their food comes from. But it sounds like it goes a lot deeper than that with all of these different elements that you're bringing to folks.
It is, really. So just on the educational front, we kind of have a two-pronged approach. So we want to do a lot of educational programming here, not just with the exhibits, but actual hands-on educational programming with our kitchen lab, a makerspace, our demonstration fields, where we'll be able to actually take students or any visitor out into the field and let's dig up a potato plant and see how tubers and roots and flowers all form. That's all activities that will happen here. The other component is we have an educational outreach component where we're developing lesson plans and curriculum to get out into the school system. We'll actually make visits to schools, conduct a lesson for a classroom or a school about agriculture, and very basic all the way to very advanced elementary school into middle school and some high schools, and just really try to tie it all in. And I guess the third component is we really want to stress that there is an avenue for a career in agriculture. I think one thing the industry hasn't done a very good job of highlighting the types of really quite satisfying and lucrative careers that are available in agriculture. The stereotype of just driving a tractor and you know, doing so many things manually, those days are quite honestly gone. It's a very high technology industry, a very progressive industry, and we need more people to enter into that agricultural space for careers.
You mentioned technology is a focus at this center. Can you tell me what that looks like and what may surprise people when they come in?
I would say one easy one is just our irrigation exhibit. I personally, from my background in agriculture, had no idea how advanced the big center pivot irrigators that we all see when we're driving around the countryside, how advanced they are. Variable rate irrigation technology is fairly new, but it's being embraced. So just that one component is telling a really good story that we're growing better crops, bigger yields on less acreage and using far less resources like water and other crop inputs because of that. That's just one of many examples that we're going to talk about here.
I understand the center is highlighting some of those key crops of central Wisconsin. Is that right?
That is. That's correct. So, I mean, Wisconsin's known as the dairy state for, you know, obvious reasons, which is great. Our dairy heritage is wonderful. But there's more to Wisconsin than just dairy. We're top five in potatoes and carrots and green beans, peas, wheat corn, number one in cranberries. We grow ginseng and mint and cabbage and a whole host of other items here. So we really want to focus on initially those kind of consumable, fresh potatoes and vegetables from the central Wisconsin area. But we've got plans to not stop there and go beyond that and try to highlight all of the crops that are grown in Wisconsin. And it's not just to represent just Wisconsin only. That's where we're starting. But we feel we'll have an impact in the Midwest and across the country as well.
So what is happening outside the center? You mentioned the demonstration fields outside. We're in the dead of winter right now. But what's planned for those fields in 2024?
Sure, that's a great question. We have 4 1-acre demonstration fields. Each one has their own section of an irrigator, center pivot irrigator on there. And the 4 fields are really purposefully thought out. One will always have a cover crop on it. Cover crops are an important part of the agricultural industry and normal crop rotation here. So we're going to highlight that. The other 3 fields then will just rotate through the crops that I just mentioned, potatoes, carrots, beans, peas, sweet corn, that sort of thing. Mainly it'll be for demonstration purposes. But secondly, this year we did grow a few things and we opened it up to the community for a couple of U-Pick events. And there was nothing more enjoyable or special than seeing young children come through that really have no connection to farming or even a garden. And to be able to dig into a hill of potatoes, come up and root around and come up with a potato. And the look on their faces was just priceless. And that kind of makes it all worthwhile for what we're doing here.
Obviously, in Wisconsin, we're limited by our growing season, Andy. But in a previous conversation you had with us, you were talking about plans for a greenhouse to keep that greenery around the calendar year. Has that come to fruition?
Thank you for the reminder on that. Yeah, we do have plans for a greenhouse. That would be like a phase 2 of our project. The concrete slab is poured for it. I would expect we'll start getting serious about planning that this spring. And the idea is, yes, we have 6 months of winter here, and it's unfortunate, but that'll give us the opportunity to maybe look at greenhouse technology and at least have something green and growing for educational purposes and maybe for use in our cafe and our culinary space.
So plans in the works, because as you kind of alluded to, this space is the starting point for what could be.
That's exactly right. One of the phrases that we've coined here is we want to be that common ground to bring different opinions, different tractor colors, if you can believe it or not. I mean, that's a thing. And we want to be that common ground and be that catalyst for differences of opinion on water usage or land usage or crop type or whatever. Another term we've coined here is we're purely agnostic. We are third party. We want to bring everybody to the table and represent everyone, big farm, small farm, and everybody in between.
What we haven't talked about yet, Andy, is the monetary support for the Food and Farm Exploration Center. That's another story of how a lot of different people kind of came together to bring this to the ribbon cutting, right? Can you tell me about how many different parties played a hand in meeting the price tag needs?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great one. It's a $41 million project. It started as an idea, and then over a course of a few years, a foundation was started, nonprofit foundation, with the sole purpose of just providing educational component, agriculture educational components into schools. Well, that's where it started. As the idea grew and took root and grew, and you know, some water and sunshine, and the idea got bigger. A few more growers and farmers in the area said, why didn't we think of this 10 years ago? There's such a need. So it became very apparent that there was a need for a destination type of facility building where we can, like we said, have common ground, bring it all together. So the support for the whole thing has been absolutely phenomenal. Initially, it started with support from a lot of the farmers and growers in the area. As an example, we're in Plover. The Wurzela family donated 24 acres from prime farm ground right here in Plover for the site. We're right along I-39, super visible, and so that was their contribution to the project. That's one example of the support necessary for this because they believed in it. The rest of the support came from lots of other industry folks, John Deere, Frito-Lay, Swiderski in New Holland, a lot of banking firms, Compeer and Ag Country, Rural Mutual Insurance, Farm Bureau. The list, I think, is well over 200 donors right now, big and small, to make it happen.
And the responses from those stakeholders over the new facility have been oohs and ahs, as we heard from Andy Wrights. Andy is the executive director of the Food and Farm Exploration Center, now open in Plover. He recommends planning your visit today. Just visit their website, explorefoodandfarm.org. Again, the website is explorefoodandfarm.org. He says while you're visiting, don't forget to snap a picture in front of the world's largest potato masher, which calls the Food and Farm Exploration Center home. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. Looking at issues through a politically purple lens. The Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim, Thursday nights at 7 on Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. Mino and the Mayor.
Tom Miazga. Tom, I was talking about the inspiration you are to kids. Their parents have got to take a lot of comfort in meeting a guy like you.
I've been, again, blessed with parents that never said, you know what, like, oh, you want to go play soccer? Like, you're going to learn the hard way, but we're not going to say no. As long as you're providing the opportunity and you're giving a kid a chance, most of the times, actually 11 out of 10 times, it's going to pay off.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're in.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress. Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-botted dad to eat more plants, for the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Rain. I'm up in Green Bay working remotely this week. We had a little light rain yesterday. I talked to you yesterday, Stu. You were along the Sheboygan-Plymouth-Eden route, and I'm sure you probably saw rain. Snow in Madison. Did anybody end up with that icy business that could really have been frustrating?
As a matter of fact, Pam, there was a good snow cover in the Eden area. Well, just about enough to cover everything up, but it melted off before the day was out. I see around 2 inches or more in the Madison area in terms of icing. Very scattered little areas, but nothing widespread. We didn't make sheets of ice anywhere around Wisconsin. The activity all has been pulling away, and of course, low pressure that was just off to our southeast has been pushing a bit further east and away from the area. That is going to lead to a little more clearing through the day today. Clouds to start things out, but those clouds will break up and will brighten up. Brightening up first in western Wisconsin, last in the far southeast. But there's something to look forward to, and that's the return of a little sunshine. And certainly that sounds like some pretty good news. Still fairly comfortable temperature-wise above normal. And I mean, we're talking very upper 30s or about 40 today. We cool a bit on toward Friday and on toward Monday. On toward New Year's Day could be about the coolest swing of the pendulum, rising up after that. There will be a precipitation chance. A cool front drops in out of the northwest Saturday night or into Sunday. Some snow, generally pretty light snow, but a few snowflakes, a possibility at that time. Maybe a little dust here or there. I wouldn't expect a lot more than that. But that precipitation chance as we make our way into the middle part of this long weekend. Those temperatures, like I said, then cooling on toward New Year's Day, and then turning around after that. Next week, though, still looks to be on the dry side. I know you've got that snowmobile gassed up and ready to roll. There's just not going to be that kind of snow cover building up around here. And with temperatures all of next week, at least in the mid-30s, not building a lot of ice or anything either. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Celebrate our century and sesquicentennial farms across Wisconsin. There is a growing list of farms that have been family-owned or operated for over 100 or 150 years. You can find out about them all year long thanks to our friends at Compeer Financial. Meet the families, hear their stories, and take a trip down memory lane by logging onto MidwestFarmReport.com. New farms are featured each Friday on our morning show. Celebrate century and sesquicentennial farms with the Midwest Farm Report.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Our Compeer Financial Ag weather forecast does call for morning clouds, maybe a little flurry activity in the south, and then some clearing a bit later on, up to about 40 today, upper 30s or a low 40 here and there. The north wind's about 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to 25. Southwest winds at 5. Mostly sunny skies on Saturday, only up in the mid-30s, 35, 36. West winds about 5 to 10. Saturday night into Sunday morning, snow, not a accumulating to much or accounting to much, but a little snowfall, and then just mostly cloudy through Sunday, lower 30s with the north winds at 5 to 15, and more sunshine on New Year's Day, but very low 30s for highs. Going to seem a little more wintry again to start the new year as those temps stand the chance to stay a lot closer to normal in the very low 30s or even the upper 20s, and that's where it should be at this time of the year. So, Pam, get ready. We're going to be a little cool next week, but as still say that dry weather is going to continue. But then again, we're just not making a great deal of ice out on the lakes. Those that are on the lakes in northern Wisconsin, be very, very careful through the weekend.
All right, Stu, thanks for the update. Appreciate it. Have a happy new year. We'll catch you in new year 2024. Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist with your Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, if you're looking for ag lending, resources, people, offices, or you're thinking about a rural lifestyle change in 2024, Compere Financial is where you need to turn. Go to their website, compere.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. First Colorado, now Maine. Maine, the second state after Colorado to declare Donald Trump ineligible for the primary ballot next year for trying to overthrow the outcome of the 2020 election.
The Secretary of State in Maine disqualifying Trump, siding with a group of politicians, one Democrat, one Republican, and one independent, who say Trump was ineligible for the primary ballot because having previously taken an oath to support the Constitution, Trump engaged in insurrection against the same. Trump's legal team says they will appeal to the state's highest court.
ABC's Melissa Adon, a Wisconsin business owner, filed paperwork to keep Trump off the ballot there. SpaceX used its Falcon Heavy rocket to launch the military's X-37B space plane on its latest ultra-secret mission in Earth orbit. In Liberia, a leaking fuel tanker exploded earlier this week as people gathered to scoop up the gasoline. More than 40 killed. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents will meet again Friday morning. On Wednesday night, they fired UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao after they learned he was making online pornography. The Board of Regents will meet in closed session to discuss ongoing personnel matters and to talk with legal counsel about potential litigation.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Border states are ramping up their busing of migrants to northern cities, says CBS New York's Astrid Martinez.
New York City saw nearly 15,000 new arrivals this month. But it's not alone. Close to 2,000 in Chicago and 5,000 in Denver.
Maine's elected Democratic Secretary of State has ruled that the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment makes former President Trump ineligible to be on the Republican primary ballot. CBS News election law contributor David Becker.
She also, understanding the import of this rule, stayed the decision pending judicial review in the Maine courts, knowing that this is just the first step of an overall review.
U.S. troops are preparing to evacuate Americans from Lebanon if necessary, says CBS's David Martin.
Two amphibious ships carrying 1,500 sailors and Marines, along with jet fighters, helicopters, and armored vehicles, have transited the Suez Canal from the Red Sea into the eastern Mediterranean.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden called the recently passed former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl one of the finest people he ever worked with. State Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler.
The only person that he was working for was you, the voter. It wasn't about special interests or about big money donors or anything else. He was there to do the work because he loved Wisconsin and he wanted to lift Wisconsin up.
Flags around Wisconsin are lowered to half staff until after Cole's funeral. He died Wednesday after a brief illness. Kohl was 88. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt is filing a petition with the Wisconsin Elections Commission to try and keep Donald Trump's name off Wisconsin's presidential ballots next year. The commission has already rejected the petition, though it is likely to end up in the courts. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
Breaking
milk
breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
A few lingering clouds this morning, and then it will become mostly sunny by later this afternoon. We'll get to around 39 for a high today. The wind, northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be clear, low of 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 37. Could see a few light snow showers tomorrow night into Sunday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees.
But we can protect them from 6 types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
My Easter Seals, make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Valentine or even Eric Stokes, of course it is.
Spreading farm information and occasionally manure. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Some folks refamiliarizing themselves with winter conditions around Wisconsin. It's a Friday, 29th day of December. Glad you're spending some time with us. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Yeah, like I said, I think visually it was kind of appealing to folks yesterday in the Madison area that picked up that snow. Now we'll see how much of it we hang on to. For today, 40 is our expected high, and supposedly sunshine on the way this afternoon. That would be welcome. Clouds back in the forecast on Saturday, 35. Sunday, cloudy and 33. And the first day of 2024, partly cloudy, 32 degrees on Monday. So like I said, today is the 29th day of December. Let's see, on this day back in 1890, the massacre at Wounded Knee happened. There is, of course, a memorial there today, but it happened on this day back in 1890, the Wounded Knee Massacre in South Dakota. Hard to believe, but on this day back in 1997, Hong Kong started to slaughter all of their poultry birds to try to battle and stop bird influenza. Now, that's obviously something here in Wisconsin we've become all too familiar with, but really the awareness started back on this day in 1997 in Hong Kong. Happy birthday today to actor John Voight, 84 years young. Ted Danson from Cheers and Three Men and a Baby, he's celebrating his birthday today. And now you know. One buzz phrase you're likely to hear a lot going into calendar year 2024 is AI. Now, in agriculture, we call that artificial insemination. But in the real world of consumers, AI is artificial intelligence. We've been using it for a while in a lot of different areas in production agriculture. And it sure looks like 2024 is going to bring us more opportunities to integrate artificial intelligence into not only producing food, but also processing food. Charity Seebecker joins us now with a new opportunity on the UW-Madison campus where students are focused in on solving problems, many of which are turning to artificial intelligence as a resource. Charity?
The University of Wisconsin-Madison's Master of Science in Design Plus Innovation is an interdisciplinary accelerated master's program where students will design, develop, and implement innovative products or services to help solve a problem. And this year, their focus is on bees and the role that they play on Wisconsin's ecosystem and food security. And Trudy Watt, the academic director of the program, says the students' project will be ready to be implemented come May. She explains more about the process these students are going through.
MDI, which is what we call the MS, Design Plus Innovation for short, is a one-year accelerated master's program in empathetic, interdisciplinary, and collaborative design at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. A really unique aspect of our program is that we're partnered with 5 schools and colleges on campus: the College of Engineering, the School of Human Ecology, the Wisconsin School of Business, the Art Department, and the iSchool. So it's a really, really, I think, cutting edge approach to what partnership between schools and colleges look like. Very often our program works with partners such as other campus units, corporate or industry partners, and we continue to work with partners like those. This year we wanted to experiment with a slightly different approach. So working with a really important mentor to our program, we were thinking about what would be a really big issue in the state of Wisconsin that our students could tackle. We wanted to give them something complex, but something that could also be sort of related to everyday experience. So we thought of food security in the state of Wisconsin. And really quickly, we went from food security to agriculture to pollinators to bees. So we all know that there are stories all over the place about bee population decline. It's a real issue that has a real impact on what we experience every day as people that live here. But there's also a story in this that I think is captivates the imagination and really, you know, lays open some really interesting ways to think creatively about innovative possibilities that could potentially and positively impact bee population decline and food security in the state of Wisconsin.
Getting to learn from these beekeepers firsthand, how are you planning to work with them to create an overall benefit for them and the state?
Our students are spending an entire semester just trying to understand. And we couldn't possibly understand everything that is going on in the world of bees and beekeepers and honey producers in a semester, right? It takes a lifetime. It takes multiple lifetimes. We know that this is a culture with a ton of mentorship, et cetera. So we're only going to get a snapshot. But what our students are doing now is just trying to understand the landscape. What are the factors out there that are influencing beekeepers' experiences, bees' experiences, and by extension, all of our experiences of the food systems that we live with every day. So this semester, they're developing that deep understanding. And what we're asking of them is, given their new insights into what's up for bees and beekeepers, what do they think are the possibilities where designers could bring either a new product, a process, a website, an app, et cetera, to have a positive impact on the overall health of the bee ecosystem in the state.
That was Trudy Watt, Academic Director for the Master of Science in Design Plus Innovation at UW-Madison. With a decline in the bee population, these students are working with beekeepers throughout the state to help them, the bees, and our overall ecosystem. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thanks, Charity. We're getting ready for the final trade day of 2023. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 143, but 40-pound block cheese gained a penny and a half to 143. Double A butter on Thursday up three and a quarter at 266 a pound. On the close, our commodities were definitely under some pressure. December, make that March corn, dropped 2 1/4 cents to 474 and a quarter. December new crop corn was down a penny and three quarters at 504 and three quarters. January soybeans on Thursday down 11 and a half at 1305 and a quarter. November new crop was down 6 1/2 at 1258 and three quarters. The July wheat was up 8 1/4 yesterday at 647 and three quarters. January class three milk down 28 at 1541 a hundredweight. Yeah, it's going to be tough no matter what you raise in Wisconsin agriculture for 2024. And it really doesn't matter about the weather. Just take a look at the economics. We'll do just that with Bill Moore, Chief Risk Officer with Compure Financial. That's up next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the Morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
TVsRemodeling.com.
Pam is the name. Farm speak is the game. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Our friends from Compure Financial keeping an eye on what's happening with our rural economy and looking ahead to 2024. Joining me today is Bill Moore. He is one of our risk management advisors with Compure Financial and a fellow that's kind of been keeping a pulse on things as we kind of wrap up calendar year 2023. Let me ask you, first of all, Bill, how did our risk management tools, our risk management strategies perform in 2023? You know, for a while, it looked like we were going to have all kinds of mitigation for drought. Crops ended up being a little bit better than we expected, but there's always uncertainty out there. Overall, how do you think the risk management portfolio for most of our, I'd say, Wisconsin farmers performed?
Yeah, risk management is such an important part of our agricultural business, and following risk management practices is sometimes a task, you know, but we do preach that. We preach it upon ourselves as well. It's been a really important function over the last few years. I think one of the interesting parts that we've seen is we had such good profits in the last few years that, you know, the kids talk about FOMO, fear of missing out. You had farmers that maybe didn't hit the highs of previous years. And what we're starting to see is those that had missed the high in the previous year maybe weren't as effective at managing their risk management plans and marketing plans in the following year. And that's the spot we're in today is, well, you know, I sold too early last year, so now I'll wait. And we've seen actually a reversal in the trends of commodity prices. So while net-net, particularly in the dairy industry, we'll probably see, you know, producers, you know, hit a break even plus or minus. Some will earn some profitability. Some will be slightly negative, but it's off of the back of really 2.5-3 years of really good results. So we feel very good about where the industry is today, considering where maybe it had been 3 or 4 years ago.
You know, putting together that portfolio risk management tools is kind of critical. We've got a lot of them, some more popular than others. How do you start walking people through that plan? Now, we're going to wrap up calendar year 2023, but we already have to start pulling the trigger on some of this for 2024. How do you walk them through that, Bill?
Well, I think it's understanding your cost of production is the key thing. And it's frankly, the number of people that do not know their full cost of production is quite surprising to someone in the risk management area. So we really try and focus on what's your cost of production, where can you sell, how far out in the future can you sell, and what is the appropriate level of not only your production, but how much you're willing to grow, and frankly, where will that production go? You know, we've certainly seen a slight tightness in capacity, particularly in the Wisconsin area, and so that has resulted in less production going forward. But I think there is some optimism because we've certainly heard a lot of people talk about maybe there are opportunities to build processing capacity in this area. So how do you ramp up not only your cow base, but your production base in order to be able to fulfill those needs?
So what questions do I need to be asking now, Bill? I don't want to put a risk management plan together in a vacuum. I've got to have some other people's input here. Tell me who I should be talking with, what kinds of questions should I be asking?
Well, the good news is, you know, we've been around as an organization for, you know, call it 106 years. The number might be a little different than that. No one's been around 106, but there are plenty of people that have been around 40. And so we've got a level of expertise, both not only on the lending side, but frankly on the consulting side. You know, how can you utilize your financial partner to be able to understand, hey, do you grow crop? So do you have the right crop protection? Do you using the right, you know, tools? We have a number of tools on the dairy side for both following DMC as well as DRP. And what's the optimal level to be able to capture profitability based on your operation? Because I've been to those meetings before. No one is the same. And so having someone who can walk you through. I met with a group of farmers a couple weeks ago, and one said something very telling to me. They said, as a runner of a business, I have to be the CEO, the CFO, the CEO, COO and the CMO, and I'm not an expert in any of them. So why not reach out and utilize someone who has that level of expertise? Because your financial officer is helpful, and they're great, but they have access to a whole host of other tools. We use what's called a TRM, team relationship model, where you can bring in people who have that expertise and add it to your team of advisors.
Yeah. Bill Moore's along with us. If you're just joining us, he's one of the risk management advisors with Compeer Financial. You know, he talked about the resources that are out there. Some people like to be able to kind of study up on their own before they call for meetings. Compeer.com has got some fantastic resources. If you've never checked it out, you don't have to be working with a Compeer advisor, but boy, the resources are right.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay, smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Help things like community medical centers. You know, we don't need our clients to have to travel 2.5 hours to get to the hospital. So can we find local partners and maybe put that money to work to build a skilled nursing facility or a senior living facility or, you know, all the way up to a hospital? And we've done that in a number of cases. Mm-hmm. Our eligibility there is somewhat limited. We have to do these on a case-by-case basis. So we actually had bipartisan support to get into the new farm bill, you know, the authority to be able to do what we call mission critical investments. Now, the resolution just passed last month to kind of, as I understand it, punt the farm bill for a year. On many cases, that's good, because crop insurance is so important to us. We did not need to get into a situation where crop insurance either was off the table or was notably adjusted. So that is good. But for us, the bad part is, well, that might take us another year to get that eligibility in place.
Right. And the reason why we talk about something like this is dairy does not stand by itself. You're dependent on your community for employees, your community for schools, your community, and that all kind of goes hand in glove.
Yeah, we've always been really of the mantra that ag is good for rural. But the flip side is also true. Rural is good for ag.
Yeah.
And the two cannot move together without coexisting. And while there's certainly a focus for the Farm Credit System on how to fund and enhance agriculture, we're really trying to make that a dual mission and make rural equally as important as agriculture. That's going to take a lift on our part. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone within the Farm Credit System. The Farm Credit System can't do it alone. We need community partners. We need community banks to be involved. You know, that's not always been a symbiotic relationship, but I think there are reasons for it to be. And then how do you go outside our communities and bring capital in? Mm-hmm. How do you get economic development dollars so that someone can start new businesses? But nobody's going to be able to start businesses if you can't find labor. You mentioned it. You know, if people are moving out of the community, then people aren't going to travel an hour to go to work. And and while I'm certainly sure that virtual work is helping rural, it's not necessarily helping rural businesses.
Bill Moore, again, along with us, you know, you make a really good point there about how you, I'm the chief cook and bottle washer, CFO, CMO, COO. That's all the more reason why farming operations need to network with folks like Compeer. You can't do it alone. You shouldn't try to over leverage yourself, because like you said, we're finding that we make bad decisions when we're working in a vacuum.
Yeah, that's completely true. And you know, working in this political environment is never easy. I am fully understanding of that. However, here's a case where we actually have bipartisan support. We have Republicans and Democrats who are willing to put forward what was supposed to be the farm bill for this coming year, but maybe it will be for next year. They've been very supportive. I mean, we've, over the past decade, we've been able to do 149 rural hospital investments. But each one of those, we've had to go and ask for explicit permission to do that deal. And that can be 6 months. That could be a year. It could be a year and a half. And if you are someone who's trying to put together a proposal and your financer says, yeah, I can help you, but it's going to take me 9 months to get approval to do that, you know, that's probably dead on arrival.
Yeah.
And so we really need the full support of the community, of the legislators, and of the people who have capital.
You know, risk management is about more than just a contract you enter into for calendar year 2024 or for a certain life cycle. Risk management goes far beyond your farm's gate and into your community. Bill Moore, helping you better understand that. Again, risk management advisor with Compure Financial. I mentioned it before, I'll say it again. You want to find a great bunch of resources to just educate yourself on some of these elements to get started. Go to Compure.com. And while you're there, you're also going to be able to find out how you can stay involved in the conversation on the bigger issues like rural support that are being discussed on a broader level in Washington, D.C., and how you can connect with people like Bill Moore to get your risk management plan in tow for 2024. Compure.com. Bill Moore, my guest. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Breaking out planting expectations for corn and soybeans this next year. Today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Today, Dan Bossi offers an educated guess on what corn and soybean growers will be putting in the ground this spring. He's president of Ag Resource Company, a risk management and advisory service based in Chicago.
We are forecasting today corn acres at around 90.5 million acres. Soybean acres, I need more of them because of renewable diesel at 87. There's a $7 advantage today for planting soybeans over corn. So we're thinking there's going to be more soybean acres, but I want to caution you. This was a survey we did back in October. I'm worried that the fall has been so good and there's still nitrogen being put down across places in the plains in the Western Corn Belt. So I may have to adjust my corn acres up and my soybean acres down based on the favorable fall weather, because once I got farmers working, they kept working and doing what they were doing.
While Bossi expects corn and soybeans to bring modest profits next year, he believes beef and poultry producers could have a good year in 24.
The bullishness may not be in grains unless we have a weather problem, but we definitely see it in the protein side of our plate.
Bossi gave the keynote at a recent convention of the American Seed Trade Association. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Oshkosh Air Support WISS programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, WISS.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In Interscholastic.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Officials say Russia has launched more than 210 missiles and over 30 drones against Ukrainian targets, the biggest air assault of the war.